Now, Pinkies, this is the Fey Driver. I need to tell you before we begin that there are some fundamental tenets about the Pink Wheelnuts podcast. Some fundamental properties that you will find on every single episode of the Pink Wheelnuts podcast. And that is this. We must always have an ignition start at the beginning of every episode. This is to set the tone, it's to help us all understand what kind of car we're driving. Is it a high-performance, noisy Porsche 911? Is it a pickup truck? Is it a luxurious, opulent sedan with quiet comfort? Or is it something else? And then at the end, there's always sort of riding off into the sunset, the car passing by, off to bigger and better things, off to a brighter future. So these are fundamentals that have always been a part of the Pink Wheelnuts podcast. Now, today, this is a Pink Wheelnuts garage episode. For those people who are new to the show, a garage episode is an episode that will be specifically about some sort of car issues. In this case, we're test driving a new car. In this, we call this a first drive on the Pink Wheelnuts at the garage here. Whenever we've driven a car for the very first time, we go on a first drive. So I'm taking you today on a first drive of a brand new vehicle that we have purchased, which is now in the stable of the Pink Wheelnuts garage. So, as tradition requires, I will now start the car. Are you ready? Here we go. So the car is running. Today, we are driving the 2015 BMW i3, which is a small two-door, it actually has four doors, sedan, which is all electric. And we're going to roll out of the garage. I'm going to pull my mirrors in. We do have electric folding mirrors. That's park distance control. All right, I'm out of the garage. Put my mirrors back out. And we're ready to roll. I want to just adjust some, mark my trip. And away we go. The doors automatically close, lock by themselves when you move. A feature I've never liked, but I cannot disable it. All right, so here we go. We're doing 30 kilometers an hour. Can you hear the whining? This is a very interesting car to drive. All right, listen to this. Very quiet. All right, windows up. So, what can I tell you about this car? This is a great little car. I love this thing. It is such a riot to drive this car. It's so much fun. Now, it's a bit of a goofy looking thing, this car. I do have to admit. What's this person doing? Oh, no signals, just dawdling along. I don't know what I'm doing. Doo-doo-doo. All right. Oh, I love it. It's got great power. So, Where to start, Pinkies? Where to start? Listen, this is a very nicely appointed car. It has lovely features. It's very nicely built. The build construction of these BMWs that I've owned is really nice. Even in this little car, they've done a very nice job. So here's the deal. This car has a lot of really light materials in it. There's a bunch of the pan is carbon fiber, and there's aluminum in the drive and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of extremely light materials, pay attention to my driving here. Like these sort of plasticky, carbon fibery looking panels. You can hear that. That's the door panel. That's the dash. So it's really light. It doesn't feel the nicest, but it has it looks kind of like fiberglass weave, you know, that pieces, particles, webby type stuff. So there's that component to it. So you see that in various places, but then there's a lot of nice feeling materials. There's some really nice wood material in the dash. This, just so you know, this is an enhanced podcast you're listening to. So when you hear a shutter click like this, that means a picture has changed. You can look at this episode on your iPhone or your computer, and every time you hear a shutter click, there's a picture. So I'll be showing you all these various features. But then there's some very nice leather on the dash, and some wood, real wood grain materials. The color of this interior is kind of a tan. There's some tan leather accents and brown cloth upholstery as well. So it feels quite luxurious, this car. A couple of nice features is I have two display screens. One is basically my speedometer and driving information. And then I have a second screen which appears to just float in midair, just sort of hovering there over the dash. It's quite nice. And that's all of the iDrive functions. I'll talk about the iDrive in a bit. We have a normal stereo and normal air conditioning controls. We have air conditioning. We have heated seats. We also have adaptive cruise control. So it's very well optioned, this car. Yeah, the driving experience. Let's talk about the driving experience in this car. It is a very nimble car. It has very precise steering. It's really, it's almost too twitchy. It's a little bit twitchy because the steering is very, very accurate. And when you move the wheel a little bit, a lot of things happen on the front end. Another thing I really like about this car is it is a rear wheel drive. There's no front wheel drive. The proper car, rear wheel drive, front wheel steering, just like a car is supposed to be. So I quite enjoy that. So I'm doing now 100 kilometers an hour on the highway, which is 55 miles an hour. Car's having no trouble. It's very comfortable. It's a little noisy, as you can hear, but no, not really any noisier than any other car. They're perfectly acceptable. Now, there's a very odd thing about this car that takes some getting used to. I want to try some cornering here. Accelerate. Oh yeah, a little bit of understeer. This is the first time I've actually driven this car with any aplomb. That understeer was not unreasonable by any means. So basically the power in this car, the drive, which is basically the equivalent of 170 horsepower. I can tell you that the battery pack is a 60 amp hour battery pack, and that will give me about 130 kilometers of range for normal city driving. These cars do not like highway driving. because highway driving in an electric car is very inefficient. It really burns the battery down. Where these cars are really meant to be driven is in city traffic. And I have to say, this car is just magnificent in the city. Now, I wanted to tell you about the gas pedal on this car. I guess we can't call it a gas pedal, but we'll call it the accelerator pedal. The fun thing with this is that when you want to go, you step on the gas pedal and away you go. It's just like driving any normal car. But when you release your foot off the gas pedal, you get what is called this regenerative braking. And so pulling your foot off the pedal stops the flow of energy to the drive, and the car slows down. The idea is that you use, when you if you were to remove your foot completely off the gas, it's going to effectively brake the car, because what happens is that electric motor that you've been pumping electricity into to accelerate, when you remove the electricity, that electric motor then becomes a generator, effectively, and generates electricity, which it returns back into the battery pack. So you waste energy when you step on the gas, and when you remove your foot from the gas, you're pushing energy back into the system. That is what's known as regenerative braking. So it actually takes, I'm doing that now, I'm removing my foot from the gas, and there you can really feel a significant amount of braking occurring, but I'm not actually stepping on the brake at all. There is a brake. You do have a brake pedal. You can jam the brakes on if you need to. So there is a brake pedal there. There's a lot of high-tech stuff in this car. There's all kinds of driver, I'm going to drive better than you functions, like detecting if you're going to get into an accident and automatic braking. The adaptive cruise control is fun because you turn on the cruise control, it senses the car in front of you, and it will slow down for you. I haven't actually tested this up very much yet, but that's the basic function of it. Other high-tech things in here is you can actually, from your cell phone, you can monitor the charging status of the car. You can activate the air conditioning to precondition the car for your next voyage, or you can set up a timer to say, okay, I'm leaving at 7 a.m. to go to work, so I'm set the timer and the car will turn on. It'll precondition the interior, so you'll be nice and cool when you get in the car. The other thing it does, it also preconditions the batteries, because the batteries function best at a certain optimal temperature. So if it's really cold out, the system will heat up the batteries for you. If it's really hot out, the system will cool the battery compartment so that you're getting the most efficiency out of the battery that you can. And it does that using all of the your home electricity, so it's not burning away the stored capacity in the car. This car will park all by itself. It will find you a parking spot that is large enough, and you just press a button and it will back the car into the spot. Does all the turning. You don't even have to hold your foot on the brake. It does everything for you. And when you're done, ding ding, it puts itself in park and Bob's your uncle. So I'm just enjoying this car so much. It's just a blast. It's just really good. So, let's talk about some of the things that are a little less desirable about this car. This car has one of those keys that you don't need to have the key in the ignition. You just have the key in your pocket or in the car. The doors will all unlock for you, and you press the start button and the car starts up, and no key required, which is a lovely idea. Obviously, that's a nice feature. The problem is, what now? Where do you put the goddamn key? Because I would rather have a place to jam the key in a hole, at least, so that the key would be there where I knew where it was. Because the other problem is you put the key somewhere, and where the hell, what did I do with the bloody key? You want to leave the car and you can't find the goddamn key because you stuck it somewhere. I prefer not to have keys in my pocket. Thank you very much. So then, you know, you lose track of this key. And the other thing that I don't like about this car is there's no hidden cubby holes. There's one glove box. So the glove box has a cover. It's pretty small. You can put things in the glove box and close it up and hide it away. And that's fine. Good enough. But, you know, like, I have, there's this one, there's cubby holes all over the place. Don't get me wrong. There are places to put things. Like in the doors, there's cubby holes, and there's a couple of cup holders, and there's this big, deep, empty, vacuous hole between the seats that does not have a cover. And then there's a little armresty thing in the center, which you can open up, and you can put some things in there. The problem is, so yeah, there's a little bit of space, like this, a small enough space to put your cell phone and hide it away. But I don't like having crap out all over the place all the time. So that's a little bit annoying to me. I wish there was some more covered, hidden spaces for junk. Because in the center here, I've got my holder for my recorder. My cell phone's in there. There's one set of keys down there. Where's the other key? There's a plug-in for the wires and cables for the telephone. I got my screwdriver, my special screwdriver there. So it's just all hanging out and ugly, and people can walk by and look in the car and go, hey, I want that guy's screwdriver. Look at it. It's pretty. And, you know, break into the car to take your crap. So I'm not impressed with that. So there's that. The other thing is, you need to spend a lot of time learning how to drive this car, because that regenerative braking is very aggressive. So I find you get whiplashed around on the neck, because the car accelerates quite aggressively. It certainly has really nice off the line power. But the regenerative braking is also very aggressive. So you need to drive with a light foot. So that takes some getting used to. I would like to be able to change the settings in this car to dial down the aggressiveness of the regenerative braking. Now, you can do this effectively. There's a couple of different driving modes. Right now, the car seems to always go into comfort mode, which is it's basically as high performance as you're going to get. There's a couple of other modes. You can drop it down to what's called Eco Pro mode, where the car will be a little more efficient. It dials down the air conditioning and the other non-essential type battery draws. And then you can go to Super Eco Pro or Eco Pro Plus, it's called. When you have range anxiety and you're scared you're not going to make it home, you can put it into Eco Pro, which will just turn everything off, basically. Let's go back to comfort mode. Which changes the way that when you get into these eco modes, it changes the aggressiveness of the car, which is fine. So far, I've not driven the car far enough to ever have range anxiety. I've maybe driven 30 or 40 kilometers, and that's just like one quarter of the range of the car. So it seemed, you know, for the types of trips that I intend to use this car, it does them really well. It has more than enough range. And then I get home, I plug the car in, I have the car set to charge on its lowest amount of draw, and it has no trouble getting charged up by the next time that I need it. So I have no concerns, and if I do have a concern that I need more electricity faster, I can bump up the charging rate in the car if I wish to, and it'll charge it a little faster. The nice thing is, when you do plug it in, it shows you what time the car thinks it will be fully charged. Just ran over a bunch of railroad tracks there. The suspension in this car is a little bit stiff, so it's kind of a rough, herky-jerky ride. It's another thing that I wish I could soften out the suspension a little bit. You know, maybe I'll get used to it in time, but it's almost as rough riding as the 911 Dorian Gray. So it has these cute little, tiny little, very, very thin tires. They're super eco-efficient tires. They're probably really hard. You know, less rolling resistance. They're not noisy. The tires are not that noisy, so it's a pleasant experience. The car feels somewhat heavier than I would have expected it to. The gross vehicle weight, that is the maximum weight that you can have in the car, is 3,600 pounds, I think. I'm doing some heavy cornering here. That handles it really nicely. Yeah, that's good. It handles well, this car. Probably because of that stiff suspension. Plus the weight is all underneath. The majority of that, basically, so what do you got? 3,600 pounds max weight. It has a cargo capacity of 700 pounds for passengers and luggage. So roughly the car weighs 2,900 pounds empty. The majority of that weight is the battery pack, which is obviously down very low. The battery pack is in the very bottom of the car. Which helps the handling characteristics of the car, because you have the majority of the weight down below. The car is tall. It's quite a tall car. So there does tend to be a little bit of like riding the London bus, where you're leaning, a lot of leaning going on, leaning this way and that way. So it's, you know, it's just a different style of car. Obviously, it's not a 911. It's a commuter type sedan. So, you know, another thing just to notice and to get used to is all the leaning that's going on. So I've driven, now I'm like 3 or 4 blocks from my destination. I've driven 22 kilometers. So that's the equivalent of, say 15 miles. And I have used up 1/8 of a tank of battery, and I've not been using the air conditioning. So my car is telling me I have 133 kilometers of range left. So presumably if I were to go straight home, which would be another 23 kilometers now, then, you know, obviously plenty of range to get back home again. Now, just getting back to the charging issue, the charger system that I have is a 110 volt charging system. That's what comes standard with the car. Now, all dotted all around town, apparently, are these free electric charging stations, and they're out there. I haven't found any at any of the destinations that I want to go to. I'm just driving over a very rough road, so it handles the bumps nicely. The electric charging stations that you can find are, they generally charge at 220 volts. So much faster charge. So I'm going to park right here. I could have done the parallel parking deal, but I won't. Just put the car into reverse. We have a rear backup camera. And that's the parking sensor saying there's a car back there. Don't hit it. And we've arrived. We are here in park. Car is perfectly quiet. I've made it to my first destination. I have a lot more to talk about, so I guess you'll have to wait for me to come back. Here's the deal. Well, let's just talk about this. Let's talk about the purchasing experience. Now, this car I purchased from BMW's certified pre-owned whatever sales department. The car was listed at $41,000. 800, I think. Obviously, I'm not going to pay that amount. Let's turn the car on. There we are. I'm going to turn the air conditioning on because it's getting a little warm around here. We're at something like 25 degrees or so. Not entirely there. Where is it? Where's the temperature in this car? I don't know. I have 76% battery left and 23 degrees Celsius. I wanted to buy the car. So I called my salesman after having test driven the car somewhat and said, okay, I'm ready to make an offer. And he said, oh, wonderful. How much? What's your offer? And I'll give you $36,000 for the car. Oh, no, sir, he says. We can't accept $36,000. And I said, oh, well, why not? And, oh, then he starts going with the reasons. Well, these cars retail for $41,900. That's why it's priced at $41,900. And I said, I know, but this is where you and I are going to negotiate. So I will give you $36,000. Oh, no, sir, we can't accept that offer. I said, so just to be clear, are you telling me that you refuse to present my offer to your sales manager? Because he's just a salesman. He has no control over anything, right? He just needs to bring in the deals. And he's refusing. He says, no, I will not take that offer to my sales manager. So I said, oh, well, okay then, goodbye. So obviously this wasn't good enough. I wasn't going to give up. You know, I really wanted this car. So I wasn't about to be waylaid by a stupid salesman. So I had to call back. And I said, all right, well, I'm now prepared to offer you $38,000. And even still, they wouldn't accept this offer. So the way that BMW negotiates is by simply not negotiating. They don't even give you a chance. I think they won't even start talking to you until you offer them their basic bottom dollar for the car. So they wouldn't even talk to me until I said, I'll give you $38,000 and my trade. So, those fuckers. So, I couldn't even get a deal started until I had a trade-in and an offer. So, I bet you're all very curious to know which car has the Fay driver given up to get this little electric zipper bot. We have to come up with a name for this car too, Pinkies. I've kind of been thinking maybe the little zipper. Should we have a car naming contest? Should I open it up to the general public? If you have a name for this little electric i3, BMW i3, you send your name request in to podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com. And if you are the successful namer of the car, I will buy you something. So, you're wondering, which car is gone, Fay? Did you get rid of that 7 Series? You know, the 7 Series, the spy car, I've had that car for a long time. I've been getting nervous about it, and I was thinking, it's time to let this car go, I think. And because, you know, I put a bit of money into the car for some suspension work, it needs a good wax job, that's for damn sure. It's gonna need after catalytic converter oxygen sensors. Those are gonna be, pretty expensive. And I was kind of thinking, like, maybe I don't need this 7 Series anymore. Time to get rid of it. So, We went to the dealership, Mr. Anderson and I. I brought my tray to them. And I said, I can't tell a lie. I did not give up my 7 Series for this car. Are you crazy? There's no way I'm getting rid of that car. I'm not getting rid of my Porsche 911. I'm sorry, but that car is way too much fun as well. So the sad story is we've given up on Little Green Truck with a Big Heart. Little Green Truck with a Big Heart is gone. We traded it in to get this little zipper. So here's the deal, folks. We go to the BMW dealer. They wouldn't talk to me until I had a trade. I said, all right, here you are. I want to make an offer on this car. I will give you $38,000 and my pickup truck, and we'll negotiate on the price of the pickup truck, and we'll make a friendly deal, all right? So they say to me, oh, that's wonderful, Mr. Driver. How much do you want for your pickup truck? And I said, no, it's your job. You have to present me with an offer for what you think my pickup truck is worth, and then we'll negotiate from there. Oh, no, Mr. Driver, this is not how we work here. You need to tell us what you want for your pickup truck. And I said, okay, terrific. I want $38,000 for my pickup truck. Well, of course, you can imagine how what kind of a response I got from that. They would not give me a number. We hemmed and hawed about this, you know, for 15 minutes. And finally, they got me down from $38,000 to $8,000. I said, well, fine then. If you're not gonna present me with an offer, I want $8,000 for my pickup truck. Okay, fine, they said. We'll look at your truck. So they looked at the truck, whatever. They didn't, you know, people, when you trade in a vehicle, they could care less what the state of the vehicle is in. All they're doing is they're going to the blue book, they're looking at the book, they're looking at how old the vehicle is, and they'll take into account the kilometers, and they give you a number, right? I mean, I could have had that truck gold-plated, and they still would have given me just what they offered, which was $3,000 they offered for that back on that truck. And, which is fine. I mean, I wasn't even expecting that much. I thought they might offer me $2,000 for the truck, because that's basically what the Blue Book value is. Although it has low kilometers, less than 60,000 miles on a 1999 pickup truck. And, I got all kinds of special equipment in it. It's got airbag suspension for carrying heavy weight. It has drilled and slotted high-performance brakes. It has, you know, a special anti-theft immobilizer switches in it and all that. They don't care about any of that crap. So your trade-ins are worthless, right? They're just going to send that truck off to auction and recoup whatever they can off of it. So I was quite surprised that they offered me this generous $3,000. Generous $3,000 they offered me for that truck. So finally we get in the door. I got I'll give you $38,000 and $3,000 and we're out the door, right? So I should be paying them, in my mind, $38,000 minus $3,000 is $35,000. Boom, you're done. Here's my money, $35,000. Goodbye. No, of course not. No, they want $38,000 plus $3,000 for a total of $41,000 and some odd. They basically wanted me to pay the $41,900 minus the $3,000 for the truck, which would have been, I don't know what, somebody do the math on that. $38,900 maybe? The answer is no, thank you. I'm not interested in your offer. Come down by $3,000. I battled with these guys to come down by $3,000. They would not come down. I know how this process works. They go away, they make you wait, they come back. Oh, we'll give you 500 off. No, motherfucker, I'm not giving you this, buying this car for 41,400. You gotta give me some, give me a gift here. Give me something. So anyway, we battled back and forth 3-4 times. I managed to get them down by $1,700. It's such a battle. And of course, we after kicking this horse around for, an hour to get $1,700 out of them, for fuck's sakes, I had beaten them down so much that they couldn't come any lower, Mr. Driver. We can't possibly come any lower than $1,700. We're down. Can you come meet me in the middle? Come up another $250. All this bullshit, right? When we finally got to the end, they felt so bad for me that they threw in 2 coffee cups and a keychain. Wasn't that generous? Well, that's gotta be, that's what's really sealed the deal for me, is 2 coffee cups and a keychain. Thank you very much, Mr. Sales Manager. So, in the end, we got the goddamn car with all taxes and all in and everything for $42,300 for an almost brand new car. The list price on this car, if it was brand new, would be $48,000, just shy of $49,000, I think. So a one-year-old car, I got off virtually nothing. Now, if that wasn't enough, then we go to, we agree this is the price. The sales manager and the salesman hand you off to the business manager, who writes your name on the insurance papers and all that. And she's now saying, okay, how would you like to pay for this? We can put you into a lease for 4 years at 5.8%. And we're going, no, thank you. We'll pay with our own self-funded. We have a better deal. Thank you very much. We'll just pay cash. Thank you. And she's like, oh, are you sure? Because 5.8 is pretty good. And we're going, no, thank you. We've got 3.5% financing. Thank you very much. And she says, oh, well, that's going to be a variable rate, isn't it? And yes, it is, but it's like 3% less than your frickin' 5.8%, motherfucker. So, we had to battle with the business manager. Now, I'm really kicking this car around in these corners. I'm doing a little bit of roundabouts here. This is just as fast as my 911. Wow, this car's amazing. I cannot believe this car. It's handled super nice. It's got lots of power, man. The power is right there. Just right there. That's amazing. Anyway, so we battle with this chick about 5.8%. Fuck off. Just give me the fucking car, please. And then there was something else. Oh, yeah. Then they wanted... Okay, so we wouldn't bite on their very generous 5.8% into a roundabout here. Oh, how's it feel? How's it feel? How's it feel? Oh, it's a little goofy. Interesting. Very interesting. Fuck, this thing accelerates so well. I just don't get it. It's so cool. What a blast, man. What a blast. What a goofy car. Oh, my goodness. You little doofus car. I don't know about you. So we get through we're running the gauntlet on the purchasing of this car, right? The next option up for bids is the extended service plan. Well, obviously, you need an extended service plan because these cars are expensive to service, as you know. So what do you think the offer is for the extended service plan? For starters, quite nicely, the car comes with 4 years of service. Like, all the free servicing for 4 years. The only thing you have to pay for would be, obviously, tires and brake pads and windshield wipers. That's about the only thing that is user serviceable parts. There's no oil changes on this car. But what do you think the business manager is trying to sell us? For $2,100, you can have the extended service package where you don't have to pay for any of those things. You don't have to pay for your oil changes. There are no oil changes. You don't have to pay for windshield wipers. Like, there's a huge expense in 4 years. A $995 wiper blade. And you don't have to pay for brake pads. For brake pads on a car that you don't use the brakes on because it has regenerative braking. So how often are you going to be putting brake pads on your car? Probably once in its lifetime. $2,100 they're trying to flog this onto us for a package we do not need. Can you believe the audacity? And the stupid woman, well, your oil changes will be free. Ma'am, the car doesn't have any oil in it because it doesn't have an engine. Oh, well, I guess. Oh, but you get your brake pads and your wiper blades for free. Yeah, or $2,100. $2,100 for 4 years of wiper blades and brake pads. So the accountant in me decided that this was not a good deal, and we elected to not accept their offer. So we barely got out of there without getting hosed. Anyway, that's my story. So here I am. I have a brand new BMW all-electric car. The car is amazing. I love it. It's fun to drive. It has lots of cool gizmos and gadgets. And I just could not be happier. And I am very impressed with the ability and the drivability and the comfort. And it's just such a magnificent car. I love it. And wait till I play some music in it. It's got Harman Kardon sound system. Something like 10 or 12 airbags in the car. It's got all kinds of assistant features. You can call up the BMW elf by the press of a button and say, BMW elf, I need a box of condoms. Where's the nearest pharmacy? And the little BMW elf will pipe it into your navigation system for you. They'll that you can call them when you need, when the car thinks it needs service. It's just amazing. And all kinds of navigation and other fancy gadgets and gadgets. So many thingamajigs that I can't even possibly describe them to you. Something I'm a little disappointed is I thought the car might read me my text messages and stuff like that. It doesn't seem to have that level of interactivity with your cell phone, which I'm a little bit surprised by. It does have Bluetooth, though. I mean, I can dial, I can see my address book on my phone and all that kind of stuff. I thought there might be a little more high-tech social networking stuff. It will read you your Twitter messages. I do know that it does do that. But not text messages. Isn't that goofy? Okay, folks. I think I've yammered on about as much as I can about the first drive of the 2015 BMW i3 all-electric four-door sedan. Thank you for listening. You can send your questions to podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com. If you have a naming recommendation for the Name the New Car contest, you can send that to podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com. I am the Fey Driver. I have to now find the sound of an electric car driving off into the sunset. So that might be a bit of a challenge. All right, that's it. I'm done. Goodbye. So just an addendum here. I left the house this morning with 134 kilometers of range, which is about 80 miles. I've traveled 73 kilometers, which is about 40 miles, 35 or 40 miles. And the car is telling me now I have 92 kilometers of range left. My battery is showing just a little over one half left. So I've used almost half my battery to go 73 kilometers. And I have more than that left over to go. And I've been using air conditioning as well. So that's pretty impressive. And I did a good jaunt this morning. So suffice to say, very impressed. Thank you and goodbye.